We continue our verse-by-verse study through the Bible. Last week we covered the first 27 verses, actually the first 26 verses of Scripture, which means we only have about 31,000 and several hundred to go. Anyway, let's begin with prayer as we always do. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the middle of Creation Week, Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 27. Let's read verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. One of the things that evolutionists have never been able to explain, at least I've never heard a good explanation, is how the two sexes developed. How'd that happen? At the same time? So that they could procreate? How did that happen? That is such a fairy tale. It is so filled with holes. And more scientists are understanding that. There are thousands of scientists today in the United States of America alone, who believe in the literal 6 days of creation as described in Genesis. How did the two sexes develop? Well, God tells us. He says he created them, male and female. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God tells man to subdue the earth. This is the divine mandate for scientific discovery. Subdue the earth. It means use the natural resources of the earth to make your life better. Using the earth is good. It is biblical. Of course, abusing the earth and creating environmental problems in the process, that is unbiblical. A sinful man, through greed and carelessness, often destroys what God has given us to use wisely and to enjoy. Like with most things, there is a balance that must be struck, a biblical balance. Use it, but don't abuse it. Just like food, enjoy it, but don't become a glutton. It's like many things. 29. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. In the beginning, animals were to eat herbs and plants, and people ate fruit and vegetables. And it remained that way until after Noah's flood. Verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Took God six literal 24-hour days to make all of creation. You know, when the plain sense of Scripture makes sense, seek no other sense. There are figures of speech in Scripture, of course. Jesus said, "I am the door." Well, we know that's a figure of speech. But when the plain literal sense of Scripture makes perfect sense, don't seek any other sense. It's one of the most important basic rules in biblical interpretation, the science of hermeneutics. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. In other words, all the places that would be created have been created. And all the creatures that had been made to be in those places have been created as well. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Everything was done, and everything that was supposed to be in the heavens and the earth is created as well. Verse 2. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He rested on the seventh day. See, I don't blame him. He must have been tired. No, he was not tired. God never gets tired, and he never needs to sleep. God never changes. He has no needs. He is totally self-sufficient. He rested from his work because there wasn't anything left to do. And he's also setting the pace for us as well. There's a time for work and a time for rest. Overdoing either one of them isn't healthy. 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. He made the seventh day holy, meaning he set it apart to be different from the rest of the week. The seventh day is a weekly reminder that God is the Creator and that he finished everything that he made in 6 days. And one way we know that God made it all in 6 days is because he established the seventh day of each week to remember his finished work of creation. That shows us right there that these are 7 literal days. He didn't set aside a geological age of 10 million years for rest. He set aside 1 24-hour day. The seventh day followed the 6 24-hour days of creation. It only makes sense, do you see? To take it that way, it's the natural way to take it. And we move on to verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God formed man out of the dirt. That is, all these human bodies of ours are. They're just dirt. We are dirt, formed into a human body by the one true God. And when the life that God gives us leaves, it doesn't take long, and we turn back into dirt once again. You know, if we would only remember that we are dirt, we are dust, and that any life that we have is a gift from God's grace, we would never become puffed up with pride, and we would never lose our reliance on God. Look at 7 again. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When God breathed some of his life into man, man came alive. The electric generator that runs our body started to operate. The heart started pumping blood. The electrons started moving. The electrical impulses started firing off in man's brain. And most important, the breath of God made man a spirit being. The breath of God gave man the ability to think, and to reason, and to commune with him. Verse 8, And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. God put man in a perfect environment. He had everything he needed and much more. 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Stop right there for a second. The original trees that God made back on day 3 were made with the appearance of age. The trees here in verse 9 were ones that grew up later. And it says, out of the ground, the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life, it is a mystery. All we know is what the Bible tells us. It was some kind of special fruit. It somehow enhanced the life of those who ate it. And since God wanted Adam and Eve to be as happy as they could be, they could eat that special fruit anytime they wanted. God wasn't holding anything back from Adam and Eve. Notice verse 9 again. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Again, God was not holding back anything that man needed for life and for happiness. But he did put man to the test. He had to. Because man was made a moral being with a free will. Man was made with the ability to either serve God and have fellowship with his Creator, or rebel against God and do things his own way. So in order to be able to live as a free-willed moral being, he had to have the opportunity to obey or disobey. And that is what this tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in the garden for, to provide that test. Notice verse 10. And a river went out from Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Hevelah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Four rivers, no doubt clear as crystal, flowing through the garden, along with all the flowers and the fruit trees, must have made this place an unbelievable sight, don't you think? God truly blessed Adam and Eve. Unfortunately, when people have it real good, sometimes they don't know how good they have it. And that will be the case with the first humans. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Adam had a good job, didn't he? A good job with great working conditions. And nothing ever went wrong. Did you know that man was created to work? Man was not meant to be a freeloader or lazy. There's a feeling of satisfaction in a job well done. That's because the need to work is built right into us. Some people think that work is a result of sin, that before sin entered into the world, you know, there wasn't anything for a man to do except lounge around. That's not true. Work is not a result of sin. Frustration in our work is a result of sin. 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, or freely eat. Oh, what a wonderful variety of food God gave man to eat. And it was good food, too. Can't you imagine what it tasted like? It was all so fresh and vine-ripened. I'd love to have a tomato off of one of those plants. They must have been juicy and full of flavor, and the fruit and the vegetables all got nice and ripe, but Nothing ever got overripe. Nothing ever rotted. Because there was no death. And there was no decay. What a remarkable place that must have been. Adam had it made. And I'm not sure he really understood how much he had it made. Anyway, Adam is about to be tested. And we're going to see the creation of Eve also next time. And until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.